Let us look to the Lord for just a moment. Loving Heavenly Father, Father of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, again we thank you for this privilege of being gathered together with the Lord's people, and above all, with the Lord in our midst. For where two or three are gathered together in His name, He is there. Now as we open Thy precious Word, we just trust that Thou wouldst open the minds, the spiritual minds and eyes of each of us, that we might observe and learn wonderful things, wonderful truths from Thy Word. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen. All right, let us turn to, if you haven't already turned there, 2 Kings chapter 3. We'll begin reading, well, something I want to make mention. I made mention of it earlier. There's some here that weren't here before. On the way over here, we were hearing Robbie Jeremiah, and he made mention of Noriego. Remember General Noriego? At the time, I figured the best thing to have done with him was to have him executed. Well, they've had him in solitary confinement all these years, and believe it or not, he's a born-again Christian. Man went in to visit him. He had his little table there and chair and maybe a few other items and a well-worn Bible laying on the table. This gentleman asked him if he was lonely. And he looked at him and said, no. So I've got the Lord with me. He trusted Christ as Savior. And then made mention of they were transferring some of the prisoners, and he was with them on a bus. And evidently the other prisoners wanted to start a riot or something, so some of them could maybe make a break. And he stood up and commanded them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to keep quiet. Settled the bus down, got back without an incident. And this same man asked him, what would he do if he were to get out? He said he would live for Christ. He would witness for Christ. He was already living for Him. But he was already witnessing. When they sent him to this new place, there was a big thick wall between he and the other cell. And he was reading the Word of God loudly and preaching the Word of God that the man in the cell next door might hear the truth of God. So you know, many times we think when we speak to someone about the Lord that it's just water running off a duck's back. Well, certainly I would have expected it of him. The Holy Spirit had His way with him. Remember, God so loved the world, that's everyone in the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth or trusteth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's offered to everyone. Christ paid the sin of the world. But it's only good to those that avail themselves of it, that appropriate it to themselves. I offer you a gift. No matter how valuable a gift, if you don't reach out and take it, it's not yours. We're off the subject a little bit, but I think it might be well to go a little farther along that line. I remember reading a story about a dear brother. He had a very expensive Bible, and the little building was filled. And he said, I'm offering this Bible free to whoever wants it. No one would come up. And he said, what if I... One of them got up and said, what if I come over to your place and do some work for you? No, can't accept that. What if I give you a dollar for it? That was way back in the 40s, so a $40 or $50 Bible, you can imagine what it would be worth today. No, he couldn't accept that. He said, well, what if I give you a penny? He gave the penny to him and took the Bible. Was it a gift? It wasn't a gift. No matter how little you do for your salvation, if that's what you're doing for your salvation, it's no longer a gift. A gift is absolutely free. Once you trust Christ as your Savior, then you do for Him because of your love for Him. You don't do for Him to gain salvation, because if you could gain salvation by doing, then Christ died for nothing. If one person could do it, everyone else could do it. All right, let us begin our reading. First verse, we'll read through the chapter. It's only 27 verses. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother. If you remember, the father and mother were Ahab and Jezebel. For he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he clung to the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He departed not from them. Amnesia, the king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with wool. And it came to pass, when Ahab was dead, that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Joram went out of Samaria at the same time, and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat the king of Judah, saying, The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And he said, Which way shall we go up? And he answered, The way through the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they made a circuit of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host, and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, The word of the Lord or Jehovah. Mind you, any time the word Lord is all in capital letters, it really should be Jehovah, is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord was upon him. And he said, Thus saith the Lord, Make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, Ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fortified city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all the wells of water, and mar every piece of ground of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meal offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all who were able to put on armor and upward, and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water. And the Moabites saw the water of the other, on the other side, as red as blood. And they said, This is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them, but they went forward smiting the Moabites even in their country. And they beat down the cities on every good piece of ground of land, cast every man his stone, and filled it, and they stopped all the wells of water, and felled all good trees. Only in Kirhath-Esseth left they its stones. Howbeit, the slingers went about it and smote it. When the king of Moab saw the battle was too severe for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son, who should have reigned in his stead, and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. Mind you that Israel didn't win the victory they wanted. They wanted to keep these people under them. I'd like to mention a few things. First, let's look at the last three verses of the previous chapter. And he went up there unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth Uzza out of the city and mocked him, that is, Elisha, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the woods and tore 22 ewes of them. And they went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. What were they doing? These weren't little children. These were at least late teens or early 20s. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were mocking the ascension of Elijah. And don't we have that all about us today? Those that deny who Christ is, deny the work of Calvary. 2 Peter 3:3-4. I should be able to quote it, but everything's gone blank on me today, so let us look at it. 2 Peter 3:3-4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now let us jump down to verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. No, it was just like the judgments. It was just like the flood. God spoke to the people through Noah for 120 years. And I dare say it was mockery all the way through it. And then once they went into the ark, undoubtedly they were quite disturbed. The ark stayed like that for a week with the door open. And then God closed the door. I dare say consternation started to hit them then. They didn't see Noah closing the door. God closed. But nothing happened for 7 days. And I dare say in the midst of that week they were all partying. Oh, the poor old fellow and his folks in there with all those animals. The end of the seventh day, the waters came down and the waters came up. And mind you, they had never seen rain before. The earth up to that time had been watered with dew. Too late. Eternally too late. The Lord says, My spirit shall not always strive with man. But we don't know when he's going to stop dealing with any individual. All of us think we've got another day. Another day. We don't know that. For one thing, God doesn't promise us another heartbeat, let alone another day. The Holy Spirit could stop dealing with you, just as that verse said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. You're not going to get saved when you want to be saved. You're going to be saved while the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, telling you that you need to be saved. Or the Lord could come and take the church out of here. That's all of the Christians, by whatever name they call themselves. If they've trusted Christ as Savior, they're one body in Christ. And friend, if you have heard the gospel even one time and have rejected it, there's only one thing left to you after the church is taken out of here. That's eternal judgment. For those that have never heard the gospel or possibly never were able to take it in, they will come under the possibility of being saved in the kingdom. And it will be the 144,000 that will be doing the preaching. The Jews. All right? Before we go a little farther, I want to mention a few other things. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. Everything in the Bible is an example or a lesson for you and for me. It isn't put there just to fill space. Even the articles that are in there. Now, I'm not smart enough to be able to tell you how it all works out, but there are those. Just one little article can make the whole difference in the word and the meaning of a sentence. Romans 15:4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for what? For our learning. That's what we're doing. We're reading something here to learn from it. We just got two readings, 2 Peter 3 and 9, Genesis 6 and 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Remember that. Most of the older ones remember Roy Reams. He used to say this when he come in late at night, out of sound. He'd go and look in his mother and father's bedroom to see if they were still there, for fear that the Lord had taken the church out of here. Mind you, that day is coming. It may be closer than we think. John 6:37, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The 47th verse of the same chapter, the Lord speaking, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth or trusteth in me hath, present tense, everlasting life. Everyone that has trusted Christ as Savior, believe it or not, you have eternal life. Now, if you haven't trusted Him as Savior, you know what you've got? You're living dead spiritually. What happened in the Garden of Eden? God said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did they die? That day, they died. Not physically, but spiritually. Prior to that time, God came down in the cool of the day in the evening and walked with them and talked with them. Now when that took place, He came down, what were they doing? They were hiding. The fellowship had been broken. Spiritually, they were dead. Christ Jesus said, ye must be born again. Three times over in a matter of seven verses. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can trust Christ as your Savior right where you're sitting. Not say a word. Not a one of us will know it. But the only way we know that you're saved is when you make profession. You stand up and you witness for Christ that you belong to Him. Romans 3:23, not some, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every last one of us. You know, in one sense, there's only one class of people right here. We're all sinners. If there's anyone that's not saved, they're a lost sinner. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, you're a saved sinner. Saved by grace, and by grace alone. Something I wanted to say and it's gone. The Lord evidently didn't want me to say it. Romans 6:23, for the wages, that which you earn, the wages of sin is death, but the gift, and what do we say a gift is? It's free. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And most of us have heard me make this statement. If we could get to heaven by telling everyone, if we could get on a certain road on our knees, hands and knees, and go to Washington, you know you wouldn't be able to get on that road. Everybody would be on it. And if they could actually get to heaven that way, you know what it would be? It would be a war. Everyone bragging on what he had done, how much better he did than the other guy. When we get to glory, there's only one we're going to praise and boast on. That's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. 1 John 5:13, these things are written that you may, what? Know that you have eternal life. Not guess it or hope it. I don't know how many people, I hope I've got it. God says one thing and you don't believe him. That's what you're telling me. You don't believe what God says. All right. Now quickly, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign in Samaria. All right. He didn't do quite as bad as his father. He got rid of Baal, but he was still doing that which was an abomination to God, following Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Remember what they did? They put up golden calves, one at Bethel and one at Gilgal, rather than have the people go to Jerusalem for fear he would lose his subjects. Now Misha, the king of Moab, was a sheep herder. Now how long had the Moabites been subservient to Israel? Approximately 200 years. If you were, we don't have time to look at it. 2 Samuel 8 and 2. And then if we look at 2 Samuel 8 and 2, 8 and 4, 2, 8, excuse me, 8 and 14, we find that the king of Edom was also subservient to Israel, or Judah rather. So some say, well, here's three kings. One is apostate, the other was godly, and the other was just an out-and-out sinner. He might have been an out-and-out sinner, but he did what he was told. He was a vassal of Jehoshaphat. When Jehoshaphat went to war, when he needed extra troops, the king of Edom went with him, because he belonged to them. He was under their control. But then we come down here in verse 7. And he went and sent, this is Jehoram, sent to Jehoshaphat the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Don't we live in that today? Christendom is trying to make itself into one big unity. Men, possibly women too, that you never would have suspected it, are willing to compromise truth to be in this one group. Billy Graham could make the statement that the Pope is the greatest Christian he knew. And there's not much difference between him and Billy. Well, they're either, he's reading the wrong Bible. 15, 20 years ago, I'd have never expected that out of him. Maybe even 10 years. Bill Bright, President, Campus Crusade. He's in it up to his ears. Dave Hunt went with him, spent 4 hours trying to talk him out of going into this thing. He went anyway. In other words, the end justifies the means, not according to the Word of God. But we find that this man, King Jehoshaphat, and he was a godly man, this time, he's making this statement. If we would go back to 1 Kings 22, we don't need to go there. He said the same thing. Only thing it was to Ahab. You know what the reason was? His son had married Athaliah, Ahab and Jezebel's daughter. Evil companions, what's the verse? Corrupt good manners. If we hang around with the wrong ones, we're going to fall. Take communism and our type of capitalism, if you want to call it that, our type of government. Who is it that gives in? Never the communists. You can go to Israel today. No, Liz Bologna with Arafat and them. Who is it that has to capitulate all the time? Israel. the Christian. But we're way off, time's running out, but I'll give you a little story. This might be better than even sticking with this. I knew a man by the name of Mr. Stewart. Been a missionary, wonderful preacher, just a little Scotchman. And he was home on leave. And this great big young man, great big, you could easily picture him in the Highland Games, throwing those big weights. And he told Mr. Stewart that he wanted to marry this little girl. They both knew she was unsaved. So, well, I'll lead her to the Lord after we get married. Mr. Stewart told him, he said, young man, get up on the table. He got up on the table. Mind you, this big fellow was maybe 2 or more times bigger, weight-wise, plus height. So lift me up on the table. He couldn't do it. You know what the old man did? He gave one little quick jerk, and the big man was on the floor. And friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, if we play around with the world, that's what's going to happen to us. And me, myself included, I think too many times we try to walk right along the edge. If you walk close to fire, what happens? If you don't get burned, you get singed. All right, quickly. And the king of Israel said, alas, the Lord hath called these 3 kings. No, he's blaming God for it. He's the one that called them. Quickly, we go on up to verse 14. And, if we were to look in Chronicles 17, 6 through 10, and 14 through 18, if someone wants to write it down, we don't have time to look at it. Acts 2, 42 and 43, we'll look at the other one. Acts 2. Who you walk with, you'll find if you read the first part, has a big bearing as to what happens to you, your nation, your family, or whatever. But if you're walking in a godly manner, the power of God will show forth somewhere, somehow. Acts 2:41-42. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers, the next portion of the first portion of the other, and fear came upon every soul because of the power of God. And if you read in 2 Corinthians 17, you'll find the same thing happened in the case of David, in case of Jehoiakim, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was one of the great kings of God, but he was a man that was easily swayed, and it all came as a result of letting his son marry the daughter of Jezebel and Ahaliah. And remember here what Elisha says in verse 10. Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, even though he was walking not just the way he should. Foolish statements. And the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee. Then we find a little later, when this water came in. Oh, do you know how the water came in? Anybody ever been out west? Some people have been out west, I guess. You go out in the west, you don't find very often, you don't find culverts at all like we do with culverts here. The road goes and you've got a dip. You know what that's for? Flash floods. Happened way up in the mountains. You're traveling at a high speed of rate, there's no clouds, nothing in the sky. You hit one of those and the water's going through it, you know what happens? You're end over tea kettle. It's just like a river. That's exactly what happened here. They didn't see the clouds. They didn't see the rain, but God knew what was taking place, or he had it happen in the mountains. So the next morning, they had this water. And when these people, the Moabites, looked out and the sun hit it right
Have you ever seen water like that?
I have.
You see it right, it looks red. And that's what they thought. They thought that Edom, like Moab, had turned against them. And they're fighting amongst themselves and they're slaying one another. Let's go, boys, and let us gather up the spoil. Only thing it wasn't. God brought them in where they needed
judgment,
and they got their judgment. They about got wiped out.
Like to look at
Jeremiah,
or Joan,
rather, 18:37.
The last half of it. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice.
If the Spirit of God isn't dealing with you, you're not of the truth.
And if you claim
to be saved, and the Word of God has no effect on you, you don't belong to the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, I don't care who you are, self-included. If I'm doing something wrong and I don't correct myself, the Lord will correct me.
I can tell you from experience, he can lay a heavy hand on you.
Nobody has to tell you doing it or allowing it. But if you can continue to do those things and nothing comes out of it, you belong to your father, the devil. You don't chastise the neighbor's children when the things they do wrong. They let the parents do it. God doesn't have to chastise the devil's
children.
The day's coming. They're going into judgment. They may live high and mighty now. The day's coming. And by the way,
a lot of people think
when we go to heaven, when we go to hell, it's only body and soul. Body, soul, and spirit.
John 5:29-29.
Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which they
that were in the grave
shall hear my voice, that's all of them, and shall come
forth.
They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. That's the same.
They that have done evil unto the resurrection
of damnation, and that'll be 1,007 years after the church is gone. But they're going to be resurrected.
But what do we find with the child of God?
If he goes through the article of death, his body sees corruption.
But then we find
1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice
of the archangel,
with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain
shall be caught up
together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we, or in the clouds, shall we ever be with the Lord.
Last part of 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. This corruptible will put on incorruption.
That's those that were in the grave. This mortal, that's you and me, if the Lord come right now.
We can't go to
heaven in these bodies. We will put on immortality, but we will have changed bodies.
Every last
one of us will have bodies like unto his
own.
What about the lost?
Doesn't say
anywhere where their body's going to be changed.
But they're going to be raised up and they're going to
be cast into
hell,
body, soul, and spirit.
We ought to be on our knees before God about the lost around us.
We've almost gotten
complacent.
Well, in a way you can
see it.
It's almost like you're talking to their wall. They don't hear anything.
But a lost soul is what?
Spiritually. He's a corpse.
You can go to the graveyard and you talk to your blue in the face and they don't hear you. You and I speaking to those who weren't saved, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to them, then the word will pierce their heart. They either accept it or they reject it. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful love that God has bestowed upon us. Surely when we compare ourselves with other people, in some cases we might look a little low, other cases we look away high. But when we compare ourselves with what God expects, there's none just, no, not one. We all have bowed with me to the Son of God. Praise God that they may not be far away. We thank thee for everyone that has put his or her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer is for all of us, that we might draw closer to himself, that we might be made like unto himself. For those that are outside of the household of faith, as the Spirit of God may touch their hearts, that they would be made in a hurry to open their heart's door and let the Savior of sinners come in. And Father, what we ask for this meeting, we ask for every meeting by what name they may call themselves. We think also of those traveling, that thou wouldst give them journey mercies. Be with those that have been laid aside with illness, those that have been injured, they might be soon raised up to their wanted health and strength. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen.